Ah! Welcome to the listening show. It's a show you can listen to.
Yeah, that's right. I was about to correct you.
What other podcast would open like that? Professional podcast is
What is a professional podcast?
I don't know. It's probably the same thing.
A version of us that get paid, maybe.
I don't know
what professional means.
All professional means is more people listen to that.
Right. More popular,
I guess.
Disparate is a word you like to use. I think our tones are very disparate right now.
Tones?
Yeah.
What's wrong with our tones?
You're obviously very animated and awake.
Are you tired?
Yeah, always. I realize that, like, today.
Why am I doing this? I'm just kidding.
I know why.
Why are you tired?
Oh, no, I don't know why I'm tired. I just know why you're doing this.
Why I'm doing the listening show you can listen to? Yeah. Because you're my friend, and that's what we do on Fridays.
That's why I'm doing it.
Because you're my friend?
Because I'm my friend, and I do it on Fridays.
Yeah. Well, you said you had a topic, and it had something to do with the butterfly effect, and we talked about that last week, though.
Yeah, last week I mentioned how next week, being today, we could talk about a subset topic. Because last week we talked about how we might change the world, and then instead, maybe this week we could talk about whatever. We could talk about how you would, in your own life, change the world via the butterfly effect, meaning you're just living your life differently and acknowledging how that might change the people around you, like the smallest version of changing the world.
So I have something that we can jump off of with that, though. I had a thought about this, and it's kind of about the butterfly effect. What I basically realized, I mean, I've realized this, I've observed this in the past, but I was reobserving something I used to think about a lot. And it was that when I do random tasks or things in my daily life, I will think of random people based on just circumstance or a song I hear. And I'll think of a random person. Maybe it's not even a person I was close to, but it was the person that I associate that thing with.
Random things, not just songs. Yeah.
Right. A song is an example. Okay. Like, I heard a song and I thought of an old female coworker I had that I wasn't really even that close to. But, and specifically I thought of her because she danced to that song while we were at work, and she did it in a way that was like cute and memorable. And it was like chipper. It wasn't that I was attracted to it. It was that it was like the moment of her being gleeful and dancing to this song was kind of burned into my mind. It's like, oh, that was happy. If you know, it was, mm-hmm. She was happy. And so now every time I hear that song, I think of her little dance that she did. That's so one example.
That must make the song better in your head or whenever you hear the song.
Maybe. I mean, sure, in ways, yeah, I guess. But what that all goes to say, I wonder what things I've done, if I've done any things like that, that when people, like mm-hmm. another person hears a song, and I don't know what song that would be, but they think, Zach did something so funny that one time.
Yeah, there's now probably somebody out there. Could be an attractive woman, it doesn't matter, who, whenever she sees a pencil, she has this little butterfly feeling because she remembers when you bent over to grab your pencil and you had that juicy, thick ass.
Yeah, and so I was twerking.
She thinks about that every time she sees a pencil now.
She just thinks of cheeks.
Yeah, your cheeks.
Thinks of Cheeks sounds like the name of a novel.
A novel?
A novel, yeah, like one of those romantic.
Speaking of random thoughts, this came in my head yesterday, the day before. I don't even know why I thought it, but I think I just said, I could make a buttload of money writing romance novels. And then I was like, why would that, because it came out of nowhere. Like, so I don't think I'm particularly qualified, and I try to back it up. Why would that ever work? And I go, because there's a huge market, and I think that market's just going to keep growing, because I think people are growing apart, and we're getting deeper into fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
That's my nihilistic thinking, but therefore, sure. In the same vein, I guess, that I think that I should be investing in kitty litter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I do think I should, because I think that's where everything is going, without getting too specific. At least you kind of understand it.
Yeah, I get it. That's a funny observation. Stupid. That's actually kind of not so dissimilar from my reasoning for working on what I'm working on. When we talked the other day that I'd like to write a story about these particular things because I believe that there's a lack of
those
things.
I think it's come up every time, counting today, the past four episodes.
My story?
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to do that. I just that's what it reminded me of.
It's not obnoxious. Like we're talking about all the time, but you're it's obviously on your mind.
It's been on my mind every day.
Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah. It's been fun. I've roped a lot of people into it too, because I've told like you about it a lot, and I've told Laura about it a lot, and I've told my mom about it a lot, and even like in some ways some of my other family members, and so everybody's invested in what's happening in my makeup story that I have no idea what happens in it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say everyone is. I don't know how invested you are.
Well, I want it to be good, and it is good. It's getting more good, so I want it to keep happening.
Yeah. I was thinking, I told you kind of how I changed the ending, and I don't know if you know this about what you did, but I observed when I finally said what the re-amped ending was, I observed a difference in your face, and that made me feel good, because the difference was like that kind of thing. I don't know that you know you did it, but no. It made me feel like good about it. I was like, yes, I got it.
This is probably unwarranted, but give me 5 seconds to try to put this into words, because it's a thought, but not a well thought out thought. You don't need my approval, but I'm sure you'd like it. And I'm your friend, and I'd like to approve or show when I approve of something you do, because it's good. That's what a friend should do.
Mm-hmm.
But I take after my dad, who didn't do that. I'm not hating on my dad. It's just his personality, as far as I can tell. I take a lot after my dad. I'm pretty unanimated generally and whatever. So to do this was a lot.
I know that.
And so I feel bad, because I want to be more, like I said, like a friend and good job. But I'm going to take after my dad. So you saying that reminded me, I do. That's something I want to work on. So sorry.
Well, no, don't. I'm saying that it was good, because specifically because I've observed you don't do that a lot. When you do it, it really means something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also, I'm not saying you should water down your emote.
No, I knew you weren't insulting. I was, or you know what I mean.
It was, but both of you kind of did this breathe in at the same time when I revealed, okay, this is what's going on. Both of you went, like kind of that kind of thing, which made
it
me
was
be
a
like
satisfactory breath of air.
Yeah, it was like, it was as if you were in a bathroom that smelled bad for a long time, and you like came out. It was kind of like, that's better, you know. Kind of, that was the kind of feel I got.
Good.
What did that have to do with anything?
I think I can remember.
Because I felt like I was going somewhere. It was about small things that I've done that everybody remembers.
You jumped back a few steps. It was a pencil, your cheeks.
Yeah.
Things you remember randomly. And this girl dancing to a song made you happy about that. And then you thought about how that might affect other people. And then going back to, that's an example of the butterfly effect that you wonder if you have on others. There, we're back to the beginning.
Okay. Obviously, because we're like best friends, we live together. There's probably several things like that, that I see something and I think, oh, Walter, or like, I remember something you did. I'm trying to think if I have a random one that you'd be like, huh? Like you'd know what I'm talking about, but you'd be like, why does that like burned into your mind forever?
I assume we're talking about how we may have or may affect each other. As an example of this, the most local example of a butterfly effect we might have in the world, because we're the closest two people to each other in the world without sounding.
Well, I actually was trying to think of specific examples of things, cause it's funny and it's interesting. So, I'm trying to think of one. Like, for example, every time if I see a Shamrock Shake, I think of how it was to be there on Valentine's Day with you.
Yeah.
At McDonald's.
When I see or think of, I don't know if they still have it, the dollar Sunday at McDonald's. It used to be $1.
Yeah, the fudge ones.
Specifically what I think about are those days at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because I only ever got it with you there. So it kind of makes sense.
We also used to go to like Little Caesars, and we'd pick up a whole pizza each, and we'd go home and we eat it, and it was terrible.
Days. It's terrible. And for that reason, it was good.
Yeah. And we'd ride our bikes to Taco Bell too.
Ah, yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's the good stuff.
It was fun.
What's dumb? Because our lives haven't changed much. We could, and the Taco Bell is there, we're still here, we could do it again.
It's a different building now.
But it's still right there.
It is.
But remember, we used to take our bicycles to the one that's there right now.
Yeah, that's true too.
It's the one still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing that's stopping us is we don't have bicycles. But wouldn't it be cool if we did? Then we could literally go do it for sake's sake.
I'd like
but
to
we
go.
Couldn't actually. But other than that, and I wonder if we did, if it'd matter. I think a little piece of our heart would go, I'm glad we did this today.
This is appropriate.
But it wouldn't be as good.
Well, before, you know, we couldn't go wherever we wanted in the way that we can now. What's interesting is that, I guess I don't know if it's interesting, but it's funny thinking about it now, is we were like maybe 18 and 16 when we were doing that. And
we're 3.5 years apart.
Right.
So but that's impossible.
I think we're 2.5 years.
Let's see, you're 27 now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. 2.5 years. So, okay, fine. 16, 18.
I think that was about when we would do it. Anyway, and we could have totally legally driven at that point, but neither of us did.
And we just like, rode bicycles like kids. Bicycles are what's up.
Right.
Everything is within bicycles reach anyway. Yeah. It's free and it's awesome.
Yeah, we were like,
it's fun.
We were even still children back then, as we are now.
We were children even back when we were children.
Yeah. We were even younger children when we were children. I used to ride my bike.
This is kind of turning into a reminiscence episode, but whatever. I don't care.
I was hoping to get examples of small things that you, every time you see it, you think of somebody randomly. Mm.
Well, here's an example. It's not a happy one. The first one come to my mind. There is somebody who rode a motorcycle who knew who I was, and I ran into him once on the street riding, and word got to me that he died in a motorcycle crash. And so I went to his wake, and he crashed on this road that I ride very often. Uh-huh. And so whenever I go by, I can't not think about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and I usually, it's not like a sad or a bad thing at best. I pay respects. I give my sign when I go by, but it's not like I go by, I think I should be careful because I think I am being careful, but at least I'm aware. That's an example, but that's a pretty, I don't know, kind of strong one that most people don't really have. They don't have whatever. Just came to my mind just now. I'm sure there's other things, but the reason, are we doing this thought experiment just because it's kind of fun, or is this trying to come back to how you affect people, whether you know it or not?
I don't think I need to go back there. We kind of,
you don't have to.
We've done that.
It was like a launch pad.
Yeah.
Just talk about whatever you want.
Yeah. Specifically, I don't know if I should say specifically what the song was, because what if that lady hears it and then she'll think I think about her all the time? Yeah. And I don't.
Because I never listened to that song.
I don't. I'll say the song. The song was, it was a dubstep song, and it was,
nice.
A cinema. Is what the name of the song is. A cinema. It's like a really old song.
A really old dubstep?
Yeah, it's a dubstep song.
Well, what do you mean by old? It's probably not old.
It's like 10 years now. I mean, 2012 to 2010. Old. It could be 2008.
Whatever.
You know? It's a decade. But at the time I worked at this bank, and one of my fellow tellers, she was like, they were like talking about music, and I was like, I'm so sick of country music, because the bank would play country music on repeat, the same 13 songs over and over and over and over. I was so sick of it.
Yep.
What do you listen to, Zach? Well, I listen to everything except for country, ironically, and I'm forced to listen to it all day. And I making conversation. What do you listen to? She goes, oh, everything. I love everything except for this and this. And she kept saying the things she hates. She goes, and I hate dubstep. and I was like, you do? And she's like, except for one song that I really like. I really like this one dubstep song, but that's the only one. And it was that song. And then she's like, I'm just going to play it for you. And then she like played it. And then what I remember is she did this weird dance. It was like really weird. It was like, she like threw her head forward like that when it, like the bass dropped. And that's what I always think of when that song plays. I think of her head going down. Anyway, I think she'd laugh if she heard me talking about that, because I'm sure she doesn't remember that at all.
But she didn't realize she changed the world a tiny bit.
Just a tiny little, every time I hear that song.
You're going to remember the rest of your life.
Yep.
What are some things? What's something I remember for the rest of my life? Oh, here's a great example of something I'll remember for the rest of my life, even though it shouldn't have been that profound, but I'll absolutely remember the moment. It's funny. It was like Inception, because after the fact, or just during, you might go, I'll remember that for the rest of my life after it happened. But during the moment, because ironically, it was a slow moment. I was like, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. I was in public speaking class, and our teacher goes up at the start of the class that day, and I don't know if it's worth recreating, and I don't know if I can, but maybe I should try. He just gets up, goes to the podium, and goes, "Never." He looks around.
Mm-hmm.
"Underestimate." And I was like, I know what he's doing and I like it. "The power." And I was like, yeah. And then one more long pause later of pauses. I was like, I'll remember this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I will always remember
what
that.
What class was that?
Public speaking in college.
Oh, cool.
He was really cool. Yeah. If I were to do acting, that'd be one of the main things I remember. Is it's not about always getting the words out. It's the space in between that could be more important too. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, again, not that profound, but it stuck out to me like really hard. And I was like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. That is really interesting.
We're all just glued on him, you know?
Yeah.
What's he doing? Do? That's great. That's fun.
That's
he
good.
Was kind of smiling when he did it. He wasn't good like, lesson. He wasn't full of himself. He was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you can think of that you'll just be like, remember for the rest of your life, and preferably something that's not like you should remember. Like, I remember when my mom died. Yeah, you should remember that kind of a thing.
I remember my anatomy teacher in college. You reminded me of this, and I will never forget like the way she delivered this line.
I remember everything about
but it. But I don't remember the line.
Hmm.
So basically what it was, I had the gal that I was kind of seeing at the time that we were really close for a long time, we took that class together. And so we were always like passing notes and goofing around like in that class. And like we were learning and stuff, but our teacher really liked us because like we do really good on tests and stuff, but we also had fun in class and we weren't usually distracting. Sometimes we were, but our teacher was kind of, she's kind of a pushover. She'd kind of let us walk over her and we loved her for that. And so we treated her really nicely. Anyway, I remember she was talking about something and she had a misspeak. And it was like an anatomy thing about like vaginas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said something like really funny that nobody in the class thought was funny except for us two. And we laughed so hard. And she was like blushing because only we got it. And everybody else was just like, this is stupid.
These
and
guys are so dumb.
Like, I know.
They're having a dumb random
We could
stuff.
Not stop. We just.
And the rest of the, yeah, the rest this. Of the lesson just. Like, well, and then Patrick the teacher, and SpongeBob.
You could tell she was like embarrassed that it didn't work, but also like really grateful for us for laughing because it was funny.
Yeah.
It was very funny, whatever it was.
It was some kind of gaffe.
But the misspeak was an accident, but then she had a joke about the misspeak, is what I remember. And the joke about the misspeak was super funny because of how she delivered it. And anyway, I'll never forget her face when she misspoke. She blushed super big and she was already bashful as a teacher. Anyway. She was extremely, she was cute. She was a cute teacher. It's very smart too. I can't remember her name at all. I remember nothing about her except for that. Your turn.
Well, are we still going to jump back and forth with.
Yeah. Just like random
things that we'll remember forever.
Yeah. That if, as long as you don't get a disease.
Well, I was thinking, I'm afraid whatever comes to mind is going to be a bad thing because we'll remember bad things.
We'll skip those. Just keep scrolling.
But if you remember them forever, you can't really skip them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of things that are more.
A lot of them are complicated things. Like they definitely weren't bad then, you know, but maybe there's a little bit of bad to them now.
I'm trying to remember things that aren't too personal or that are more. Surprisingly, like the example I gave where it's very unique and it's not like obvious that it should have been profound to me, but it was, as opposed to like your parent dying and
I
remember where I was when 9/11 happened. Like, yeah, we all do kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I have to think about it if that's what you want.
I'll think about it too.
They're all bad ones.
Really?
Yeah, they're all just bad ones I don't want to talk about.
I remember one time a kid in elementary school, we had a co-op that we would go to. He shoved one of the pencil erasers that you put over, like the cap pencil erasers, shoved it in his nose like far, and it got stuck.
You mean the cubed? Pencil erasers?
No.
I'm sorry. Erasers.
Yeah, erasers that you can put on the ends.
Eraser cap that goes on the back end. Right. Okay, I know what those are now.
Shoved it in his nose, and it was like really far in there, but he didn't want people to know. And so I remember I saw it happen, and I was kind of like looking at him. And then he was like bending over, like, and going, like forcefully trying to blow it out by like pinching his nose. Like
that. That's so funny.
And I remember like his face kind of turning colors.
Yeah.
And then just when the teacher like looked at him, like, I think his name was Justin. Justin, what are you doing? It just like, it surprised him. It came out with like a huge loogie, just like snot. Anyway,
that's so fun. That's like a movie. It was great.
It was great just watching. But it was like the same time. Justin, it was the same time. Because all people saw was him like leaning over and not paying attention.
Oh man, that's great.
I know. I'll never forget that. Because, you know, he was just kind of doing that thing where he's playing with his pencil and put it in his nose and just.
But like the idea that he's panicking almost because he can't get it out. And then they're at the last second because it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Exactly. Out. It's the perfect joke.
The panic in his eyes was like he's trying to hide it, but like but he's like, also breathing through one nostril. Like,
I can't breathe.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember like. Another memory I'll never, ever, ever forget was one time I was climbing this tree with the same gal from that class. And like, I was up higher than her and there was a bunch of people on the bottom there. And our goal was to like go up there and like carve our names in the tree. And she was having a tough time getting up and I was like, I'll just lift her up. And I was thinking in my head, there's no way I'll be able to do that, but I'll try, especially because I can't get both my hands anyway. But what I did is I braced myself in a way that I actually got to use both arms and I was able to just pull her up with one hand and everybody like, oh my gosh, Zach, you're so strong. And I remember her like looking at me and being like, oh my gosh. And like, she was like awestruck at how strong I was in that moment. And I'm thinking in my head, that was really easy because I was using both arms, but it doesn't look like that when you reach down with one hand and just curl her up.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I'll never forget the look on her face then either, as well as everybody else. I was like, oh my gosh, Zach, calm down. I felt very strong.
Pride moment.
Yes.
It's like a rare moment when a guy gets complimented. And I'll remember that forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which ironically, I was going to say, I had my compliment last year because you get your annual compliment. I was like, I don't remember what it was.
So you don't?
No, I know I had one. And I was like, hey, that's my annual compliment. Thank you. Oh, that's what it was. I was getting my checkup and the doctor gave me some evaluation, whatever. And he was like, because you're muscular, blah, blah. I was like, I'm muscular? He goes, yeah, you're muscular. And I was like, well, my doctor says I'm muscular, so I'm muscular. I was like, Yeah, so. I was like, I got to believe he's a doctor. He's the one person who can say that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he said it in passing, too. Like, it's just part of the evaluation. So, whatever. I was like, oh, cool. I remember that.
Technically, the least muscular person in the world is muscular because they have muscles.
Yeah, I know. It's a technicality.
Mm-hmm. But you are muscular. You're very strong.
You're very strong. No. Mm-hmm. No, don't remind me about how bad my back is. Our backs are bad. I don't want to bitch about it, but I could. It would not be hard.
Yeah. I also remember another moment that I'll never forget was working at UPS with this guy named Ty, and he was a ghost hunter. Mm-hmm. And I remember the moment when like he was like, ghosts are definitely real. And the way he looked at me and said that, he was like one of those dudes, you look at him and he's like a 10 on the hotness scale, super muscular, like perfect hair. And he's worked, you know, and he's always wearing like the sleeveless, like ripped down the side shirts to show. He even had abs. It wasn't fair. He was super hot. Mm-hmm. And you expect that guy to be like really kind of douchey and
something
to
offset for the tenants at one place. Right. Yeah.
And he never was. He was just nice. He was nice all the time. And then when I asked, okay, what are you into? I don't know. We always goof around and we just talk about stuff or whatever. And when he's like, well, in my free time, I hunt ghosts. And I thought he was like, making YouTube videos, goofing around with his buddies. And he's like, no way. Ghosts are real, dude. And the way he said it, it was really funny to me. I laughed at first. I was like, oh, you really think so? And he was like, yeah.
And then you realize, oh, I think he's serious.
And then I was like, I want to entertain this guy now. Because I thought he was joking with me. And then I kept like, really? You went, and then I think he felt like upset. Like, oh, he doesn't believe me.
Yeah.
But ghosts are definitely real. And he like ended up pointing me. I wish I could point people to his YouTube channel because I watched one of his videos and I was like, that's really good. That's scary.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah. Yep. That was one of those. I wish I could remember more simple things than just memories.
I could come up with random memories, which I guess aren't necessarily not worth sharing, but I don't know that they are or aren't. Some of them are bad. Some of them are just personal. Some of them are, that doesn't service anybody by telling that story. Here's a memory I had. Last night I had a dream.
Okay.
No, it's a weird detail. I normally get up at a certain time, but I was like, I don't have to. I'm going back to bed. So I went back to bed, and that's when I dreamed the hardest is late morning. I had a dream, and I knew I was dreaming because it was that. It's just that kind of sleep. Mm-hmm. But I was just out, and I was like, I'm having a dream that I'm watching a VHS tape, but this VHS tape looks so real. I don't know if I'm dreaming or not. It looks like a real VHS tape. There's so many, I can remember so many details. The only thing wrong with the tape is that it was all sepia and like just read it out. But it was a video of me and my siblings as kids. And I'm like, I'm going to remember some details about this tape and I'll check and see if this is a real tape that my brain has memorized. I knew after I woke up that it was a fake tape because it had a guinea pig and two pit bull dogs in it amongst the kids, which we did not have as kids. There were no guinea pigs. So I know it's fake, but I'm just watching this tape trying to get the details. And then it hard cuts to my brother and he's got a Hot Wheels car with the camera and it's like a red race car and it pulls out like a yellow tab out of the back to like transform something. Like, that's super cool. Look at these details I'm remembering and I can see them super clearly. Mm-hmm. And I woke up and I was like, is that real? Anyway, then I realized it's not, but it looks so real. Mm-hmm. I think in the middle of the night or the night before I was thinking about, I'm just skipping a puddle here. I'd like to know what you have to say about this, but I can't read in dreams. The letters are always jumbled. I remember one time when I had a struggle, like, oh, it's so hard to read. And it was, I got words, but the order didn't make any sense. So there was, it wasn't a coherent sense. That's I've never been me. Able to read in my dreams. How me about too. You? Same?
Same exact thing.
I assume that's normal, but I don't know that. And why would that be? Because you can... Like, my coolest dreams are, like, weird premises that would make good movies, whatever. That's... Or that tape video was just so detailed. I was like, I think it looks real, but I know I'm asleep. That was just super weird. And yet, you can't read?
Mm.
I don't know why that is. Is it part of that brain that's asleep? I mean, is there a good reason for it? There's got to be something going on where your brain just can't...
Well, you don't read in your brain. Technically you do, but so like I think I understand the reason why. I don't know if I'll be able to convey it, but it's something to do with like in your mind, you never close your eyes and read in your head.
But you could close your eyes and you could see words.
Yeah, maybe one or two. Try right now. I mean, it's not like you could see a whole sentence there.
I can see a word.
Well, yeah, I can see a word too, but it's like you can't see like a book or a page.
I think that way as far as writing. Or memory, so maybe it doesn't work. Maybe I don't count. But if I was saying to somebody, look, I'm really good at some things and really bad at some simple things. One thing I'm bad at is I cannot remember short digit sequences or codes. So like three or four numbers or five numbers, I'll go, okay, I got it. And then I'm like, I have to start second guessing it right away. I don't know if I got numbers mixed up. If I imagine what it looks like, then I remember it. I have to visually see it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That works. So maybe that's not normal. Whatever. I think most people can see words if they close their eyes anyway.
Well, yeah, you can see. A lot of people could see one word for sure. You close your eyes, like, there it is, the word for, or whatever the word is. But like, nobody, the reason I don't think you can read in your dreams is because nobody consciously ever thinks about things in sentences.
I think it's
visually.
This is not a good reference. It's like an episode of Star Trek. I think what's happening is your brain is making up stuff when you're asleep.
Uh-huh.
And it can't make up that much information, that detailed, that quickly.
Right.
I think that's what's going on. Whatever. I don't want to dwell too much on it. I just wanted to know if you have the same problem.
Yeah.
Problem. And you do so good. It's not just me.
I also can't. Sometimes I can like fly and stuff in them.
Oh.
But I can never decide when. Not anymore.
That's interesting. So I haven't had a flying dream in a long time, but typically it's very hard to fly. And there's one or two things that are important. One is if you just believe you can fly, then you can. But sometimes it's hard to believe that you can. And number two, there's sometimes an arbitrary reason that keeps you from flying or is required. I remember one dream or a sequence of dreams I had as a kid where super specific and dumb and random. In order to fly, you had to take a foosball from the table.
We've told this on the show before.
On the show we did?
Yeah.
Sorry. You had to drop it into the printer paper tray so it just bounces in place. And then you run upside, run outside and you can go fly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is important or whatever. I tell people, I like running. Do you know how much I like running? And they go, no. I said, you know how you have dreams about flying and it's the best thing? And they go, yeah. They go, I have more dreams about running than I do flying. It's like, and they go, oh, and I'm like, that's how I put it, because I will have more dreams about how fast I can run than flying. And it's the coolest feeling ever. Anyways,
I have a lot where my teeth are falling out.
That I hear is a normal thing. Oh man, I got a whole
and trail. It's normally not, it's all varying kinds. It's the kind where they've literally disintegrated out of my mouth. There's the kind where they've been broken out of my mouth and I can't put them back together.
Mm-hmm. Or then, they fall out one at a time, or a few fall out. I've had all of those. Or specifically, yeah, where they've broken in pieces too. And usually when I wake up, it's one of two things. I've been gnashing my teeth, or my mouth has dried out because it's been open and my gums hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing that happened as a kid a lot, and I haven't had it in a long time. In my dreams, I can't breathe. It's just really hard to breathe. Like it's just, and apparently it's because I have my blanket on my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point during a dream, I knew I was dreaming and it was hard to breathe. So in the dream, I was just doing this because like my blanket must be in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this and eventually I could breathe. So I saw my hands grabbing the air to try to push the blanket out of the way. It was kind of funny. I was
That's
like,
funny.
This is the key. And it worked.
I know that this happens. I don't remember when I've remembered this happening, but I know that this happens. I get arrested in my dreams sometimes. I know that it happens because almost all the situations where I notice that I can do this in my dreams is in like a holding cell. And it's when I discover I can levitate, basically.
Oh, that's
and
a cool
I
one.
Usually levitate to get away from the guards. And so now there's been one time at least where I've consciously been like, hey, if I go to the holding cell, then I can... You know, I can start.
That's where I can summon my powers.
And it's not like levitating, like floating like this. It's like kind of like you're in space. And so you kind of push off things but then you can will yourself to the ground. And then so you can push off the ground again and just
That's
float.
Interesting.
It's very cool.
I had levitating dreams also. They were a little different. Not a long time, but basically I fold my legs up like I'm sitting cross-legged. So I just pick my legs off of the ground. And I just hover to wherever I want in place, like a floating hockey puck. And then I just drop my legs if I want to. Mm-hmm. And in the dreams, you know, they feel real. There was another.
I usually have to like kind of swim in through the air to like carry more momentum.
You have momentum. You have to push off of the space around you. I didn't have that.
It doesn't have to necessarily be matter. I could just move through air, which technically I guess is matter, but I could just push the air behind me and it kind of throws me
like
forward
momentum,
a little bit more.
Like you're swimming almost.
And then I would do like when I was running away, I'd be super fast because I'd literally just catch momentum and then kick off the ground and then just be floating through places. And when somebody would like coming at me from this end, I remember I just kind of like bat my hands down towards the ground and it would just a waft of air would push me up higher.
Yeah.
Very fun. It's very fun when those are happening.
You're talking about levitating and I remembered another dream quirk and I can't remember what it is now. As a kid, those are the dreams are scariest. I remember one time, I think it's the only time it happened. I heard the devil laughing in my dream, whatever, evil laugh. And I wake up, my eyes are open and the laugh is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was horrifying. I was like, I'm awake. I'm very much awake, but it's still going. And then it goes on and reverbs away. Like it's a cartoon or a movie. I was like, and I couldn't sleep. I was like, I'm not safe now.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a funnier one. I don't think anybody's had this. At least I've never heard anything like it. And I must have told you at some point. So as a kid, when I was trying to sleep, this is the age when you're scared of dreams, I think. You're just, because they're all the nightmares. I, falling asleep, I would hear the devil walking toward me as I'm trying to fall asleep. I'm like, this is so annoying and scary. I just got to stay awake. And then it stops. But as I start falling asleep, I hear this little pitter patter. And it always gets faster. And it's just like, it doesn't get louder. It just gets faster. Mm. It's like, And so remember how we have retarded thoughts that don't make sense, but we'd had them. So for example, I don't know if you had this specific one. For a while, when I would drink water as a kid, I like to imagine what it's like because it just falls on my floating heart. It just falls down. And then years later, I have a throat. It doesn't just fall in my heart. My heart isn't floating in space, but you maintain both those beliefs at the same time. So that's the kind of tardation I had here because I was falling asleep and I was hearing it. And then I woke up or opened my eyes and I realized it just hit me like it was common sense. Wait. And I blinked and I heard the footstep. I've been laying on the side of my head and my eyelash as I was falling asleep, as I blinked, would brush the pillow. And that's what was happening. And as I got closer, I got more panicked and I blinked faster. And I started to fall asleep. My eyes would just wake up and he stopped coming. But I was hearing my eyelash blinking. Mm-hmm. That's what I was. And I'm,
that's funny.
So stupid.
Yeah.
But when it happened, it wasn't like, I was like, wow, I'm so fucking stupid. Of course it's my eyelash, but you know. Never had anything like that, right?
Well.
Eyelash? Nothing so stupid?
No. Okay. All of my problems were usually some form of OCD problem. So like, for instance, I would get an idea in my head and then I wouldn't be able to unthink it about things. So for example, I heard one time about an iguana appearing in someone's toilet. From then on, I could not imagine going poop without a snake coming up from underneath and like biting my ass. So that's one. And I would like always like look in there underneath me. Never once did I see anything like that. Didn't even see a picture at the time. Now I've seen pictures and that's what kind of reignited that sort of, I just have to like get over it.
Yeah.
Another one was every time I'd open either the peanut butter or the mayonnaise that there'd be either a spider in the lid or, you know, a group of bugs that would come crawling out as soon as I'd open it.
Where'd you get that thought from?
No idea. But they were all OCD problems. And so what I'd do, I'd have these rituals. And I learned that if I performed the rituals, it made my OCD worse. So what I would do is like when I open up this, I would keep it closed and I'd really quick, like put it down.
Yep. To trap the bugs.
To trap them in there. Right. Yep. And then when I'd put it back, I would kind of like look and then I'd see it was empty. And anyway, I would always do that stuff. Mm-hmm. It got really bad at different points where, you know, it started getting to the level of standing against the wall and stuff. And I realized this is stupid. I don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. Usually that's like the light switch. Like if you turn the light switch on just once, it'll short out. So you have to kind of warm it up by doing it on and off. Have you heard about that? As
an OCD and opening thing? And closing the door several times. Yep. Or turning the handle a few times.
Yep. It's all weird OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. So it's, you just get obsessed with this idea and you have to enact something to prevent whatever the potential is in your mind. Another example of that, when I was going through like a stressful time in the last couple of years, I think it was a year ago, I was like kind of depressed and I was going through like my mind wasn't right. I was because work was terrible. And I was just, every time I'd drive to work in the morning, I would get compulsions to merge lanes when I did not need to. And it wasn't the kind of compulsion where it was like, yeah, that would be good. It was the, I think an asteroid will hit in this lane if I stay in this lane. And so I would merge lanes. Completely unnecessarily, you know, things like that. It would just be, or a semi, if I don't get in the right lane, a semi will, you know, anyway, it was just obsessing over every tiny little thing and thinking about the potential stuff and then acting according to weird potentials that don't exist. And it was arbitrary and it was really bad. And I went to the doctor about it and he was like, okay, so that's OCD. What you have to do is not follow the compulsions. They will go away.
Yeah.
And if that keeps happening, you need to busy your mind with other things because your mind is moving faster than, you know, you just make stuff up because you have to. Thankfully, since I started creative exercises and I like have dedicated time to think things through, it turns out I'm really good at that and I have the brain energy for it. And I've not been near as OCD since I started doing stuff like that. Where I take my mind and I go, I don't need distractions. I just need to think on something and focus on it and then make it complicated so I can, you know, so it's a problem to solve. If it's a puzzle, my brain can work it out. Anyway.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I had a little bit of OCD before, you know, I knew what OCD was, and I think it was as close as possible. I want to mix it in with ADD and everything. But if I tap my left toe on the ground, my left big toe, I had to tap my right big toe.
Yeah.
I had a mirror, usually left and right behaviors. Mm-hmm. And it got to where a sequence would take like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Tap, tap, tap these fingers, same, and then verse, and they have to match. And then I realized, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. There's like 2 or 4 years of this. And I was like, I should just stop. And that was hard at first. I was like, I feel the sensation I have to do over here now.
Yep.
But eventually I just stopped. Now I still do it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like a Nash, knock these teeth twice and I'll do that one twice. Mm-hmm. It's not near as bad as it was. And another thing that a specific thing that I still do.
You made me think of something that I did.
I can't remember. Go ahead.
It was that. So if I ever applied pressure to any part of my body on the right, I'd have to apply equal pressure to the left. Unfortunately, what that turned into, that OCD turned into pressure over here, this one was too much pressure, so I have to go, but now it's too much. Yep. And you would just alternate.
That was why the sequence kept going, because it wasn't matched perfectly. And you had to keep accounting for
it. It's terrible.
It's perpetual and stupid. And
Yeah,
there's something, I think I still do it, where it's like, I know that's stupid, I should just stop it. I can't remember. But anyway, that was weird. I didn't know that OCD could come about in driving. Well, I was gonna make a joke about like,
it's not good.
It's good to have defensive driving, but moving out of the way of asteroids that aren't there is too much defensive driving.
It started affecting like decisions like that, I was like, this is a problem. I don't need to. In fact, I was merging into busier lanes because I was like, but they're not in this lane because the likelihood something's gonna happen over here is high. Anyway, it was overthinking.
I understand that.
Not good at all.
The idea of OCD, because I guess I've had or have it. I mean, I think we all do to a degree, whatever. But when it comes to driving, I never would have thought of that because it doesn't.
That's never affected
my driving.
Yeah, that's when I knew it was a problem. Or like leaving like things that I knew were completely counteractive. Like not good. I'm trying to think of like overcooking food a little bit, because then the chances it's not undercooked, you know, that's one example. Or like holding the fridge closed so that it would stay closed and just sitting there holding it and thinking, if I release this early, then the slight pull of my release will loosen it and it will pop itself open. That's another example. I would just sit at the fridge and just hold. Anyway, not good. It's bad. And like thinking back on it, it's like, that's ridiculous. And I'm glad I stopped doing those things, because it would just keep getting worse. I'd be the guy who was, you know, snapping with one hand and, you know, and counting out bills and then recounting them out. You know, I'd be that guy at some point. I know I would.
I'm only laughing because I understand it, not because it sounds silly. It's like, oh, yeah, I did that too.
I kind of have a good marker now for when I know I don't like using the word mental health, but when that's bad. Like good markers when I start doing that stuff again.
I think I'm at level 2 intelligence when it comes to OCD. So I'd say level 1 is you're dumb and you think you're smart. Number 2 is you're dumb and you know you're dumb. And 3, you're smart and you know you're smart. That's whatever. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to OCD, I'm 2. I do it, but at least I'm not ignorant. I'm aware that I have OCD and I more or less keep it in check. Mm-hmm. So I'll still do it, but it's never crazy. Whatever. That's where I'm at. Tiny, tiny things that will not affect anybody. And I don't think it affects me.
I realized that I didn't want to have any of those at all. I didn't want to have any ritual that I had to do. I didn't want to be beholden to any bizarre thing that I just came up with in my mind. I think it's why I have such an aversion to like schedules and stuff now, is because as a kid, I was really, it was not good. Everything I did had to be a certain way. And I kind of went the other direction. That's weird. I just now made that connection where I think my OCD drove me to hate schedules.
You think you're, what do you want to call it, lax, your flowy daily style is a result of your strong aversion to OCD tendencies and pushing yourself away, and you've propelled yourself to a place where you're basically anti-schedule kind of a thing?
Yeah.
You think, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was... Now, I don't know what's worse, honestly. Honestly, because it was terrible. It felt like you were just a slave to everything you did, is what it felt like when you were given into OCD tendencies. And that might be a little melodramatic, but that's what it feels like. It just feels like, man, I'm just sit here stuck. I'm stuck at the fridge because I can't make myself not do this. It's terrible. I could be going and playing games.
So first world here. Problems.
Yeah, I know. If I was in a war, I wouldn't have to worry about that.
Finally, war is the answer.
Yeah, you get it. You know, you've got bigger fish to fry, then you won't start doing that stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to... it's not that we're bitching about these things. We're making light of them.
My life is easy. I'm not saying it's hard at all. I'm just saying that those were the things that sucked. Yeah. I think now that I'm in a good place now for sure, because I don't do hardly anything like that I'm aware of. If I was aware of something, I'm now at the point where I would cut it off. I'd stop doing it.
Can I ask, because I care and I think it's interesting, but you don't have to answer if you don't want to. You say you're a lot better now. 10 being the best place you were in your life, meaning right with yourself in the universe, orientation, whatever, being the person you want to be. 10 is the closest you've gotten. So whether that's right now or when I was 6, I was the best person. That's your 10. That's your best versus 1, your worst. What number are you right now?
Oh, man. Do you have your answer?
I got to think about what my 10 is, but... without answering a number, I would say I'm in the best place I've been. But if not, I'm tied with my best place. So I don't know if I would say I'm a 10, but I'm a 9, I think. I think I'm definitely an 8. Definitely an 8.
Yeah?
7's good.
You're talking so bad.
Yeah.
I think I'm a 7.
I'm going to say that's good.
Yeah.
5 is fine. 7 is good. 8 is very good. 9 is great. 10 is perfect.
So I'll tell you.
Well, not perfect. 10 is just your best that you've been. Doesn't mean you can't get better than 10.
Yeah.
Your 10 would change. But yeah, I'm going to say 8. I'm going to say 8.
Yeah. 7 to me feels like 20. It feels so good.
Yeah.
I think I was at a 4 for like 8 years.
Well, now I want to ask this. Okay. Sorry, if I'm interrupting, you can tell your story.
No, I was just...
Well, I don't want to ask for too much, but I'm wondering what your 10 was. So maybe I should ask for the shortest answer, which is, what is keeping you right now from being the 10? You know what I'm trying to ask.
Like, yeah.
What's the difference between your 7 and 10? This means this 10, this thing that you're not, is something that you were because you experienced that 10. So what are you, honestly, you're failing at it. But you understand what I'm asking?
I wish.
Because for me.
A 10 is the conceptual in my mind. I've been all of the things that a 10 would be at some point in my life, but never all of them at once, is what I would say my 10 is.
Well, I understand that because I think I'm better in some ways than I've never been before.
Yeah.
But there are some ways that I've been good that I would like to be again. For example, I used to, when I was 23, 24, best time of my life. In some aspects of my life, were actually really good, and I would like those again. The rest of them, I don't. Even though they were good, I think they're better now. So I don't know if if I ever hit 10 again, it won't be the 10 that I had before. It'd be a different 10 because it's a different conglomeration, which I think is what you're talking about. So anyway, to give my own answer to the question I was trying to ask you, that would be, I'd like to have a job, or specifically a passion that I'm excited to be there for, like be awake for, because I used to be excited in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I would like to have. That's like an aspect of a good life. That's the one thing I think it's keeping me from being a 10, is waking up excited for the thing I'm going to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could pick one thing that you had that you would like again.
Well, 10 to me looks like I'm not stuck doing anything. I'm free. Ultimately. Yeah. Now, that said, it also means I'm in a ritual that I have a ritual of things that I do every day, and that's a good, they're good things. The other thing is that I feel like I'm getting something done. Like I feel like I feel like purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
There, and also the base condition is that my life is sustainable as it is. Like that'd be nice.
If that's what funny my, because
right now, technically I'm in a great place, but if I can't stay doing what I'm doing, because I don't have a job. So I will at some point need money, but it feels great. You know?
Well, I think I've said it to you. I know I've said it to myself, but I'm happy if my bills are paid. My bills are paid. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Bills are paid. I'm a 7. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what's that thing in the past that would get you to a 10? Having purpose in your day, having purpose at your work, having purpose when you wake up. Because that's what it was for me, waking up with purpose. Mm-hmm. Something that's going to matter today, and I'm going to enjoy it, and it's going to affect people positively. That was that thing I would like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so purpose, trajectory.
Right.
Community.
Community?
Community.
So social life is another way of maybe saying it.
And sustainability. Those are four things that are on the top of my head.
And if you had all those, in addition to the great person you are now, that'd be a new 10 is the idea.
I think so.
Right. That's what I'm looking for.
Also, like, I guess, would righteousness be the fifth one? I think righteousness is the word, although there's maybe a better word to describe what I'm talking about. Like, I'm being good, too. It's like, I have all those things, and I'm being good. That would be the fifth thing.
Yeah. The number one is purpose, I would say.
Yeah.
Chunk.
It's possible righteousness is number one, but I don't know that I've ever been super that. So
the point is, you're so good already. A little bit more righteousness won't matter much.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And I think righteousness is the word that's the one I use for being good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's something to keep in the back of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose, finding out how you might get that again. That's what I want to do. But
so now I'm trying. Can you help me remember the five things? I'm gonna number off the things that I have.
I can tell you.
So sustainability was one. I don't have that, but trajectory. I feel like I have that. I have a lot of things I'm planning for, and I'm like going in that direction. So I think trajectory, I'm good on. Community. I don't have that. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. I mean, I do in. I'm my family. Like, I have my family still, but I count like
social life.
Right.
Yeah. But I get the word community because that's something I want too. I don't know how much I should talk about myself. And I also want to cut you off. You have two more. One of them was purpose.
I have
separate
that.
From trajectory. No, you said,
I have something to wake up for every day.
Oh,
which is that purpose?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that one is like teetering, but I have it for sure. You know, it sounds like I'm being serious. I believe that
I
function fine without one. As
oh
well,
yeah. Yeah. But to be the best person,
right.
Best version of yourself, you were building your life. You would want community.
What was the fifth one?
I don't remember.
Righteousness.
That's probably it.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways I do. I just don't really. That one is kind of a halfway too. I definitely have one or two of those things, and I probably have a total mathematically of 3 out of 5. You know, because I've got a little bit of everything, and I definitely
You want more of that to make a 10.
3 for 5 is pretty good. That's basically a 7.
Well, you're doing a 7 right now, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I'm doing 8. Well, shoot.
You have 4 out of 5.
No, that's not how I'm thinking about it.
Okay,
because that's. The complicated back end of the first question, the inversion of the question of what number are you right now? Mm-hmm. Because if I'm 8, that means what are my 2 points? Where are they at? That's not what I'm interested in right now. But yeah, I try to limit it to one answer for the back end inverted end of this question, which was purpose, which I think we both agree is the biggest piece that we would like to. But then the second one for me, I think, is community. Social life, but I like the word community because I very specifically want to be involved with the people who are geographically close to me.
Yeah.
And that is down to the store that I go to and get groceries at and the tellers. Like I want to really, I could really talk about that quite a bit another time. So I'm not going to get into it, but community is another one of those pieces. Mm-hmm. I'm not listing all the pieces or the parts that I want to improve. Just I was just trying to pick the one thing that, yeah, really needs
briefly,
improvement.
Briefly touching on community, I've had that one a lot in my life. I've had a bunch of different communities.
Good for you.
And they're not only good. Like it's a noble thing to be a part of a community. Hopefully what your impact is to your community is a good one and it makes it better, but they can be really bad too. So you know, it's gonna be interesting. Because it's kind of the first time in my life I don't really have a community like that. So I'm interested to see if I'm still capable of finding good ones, you know?
Yeah, that's you got better a better chance of finding that than me. You have more experience with communities in general.
Yeah, technically that's true. So, I mean, I know you're going to do it because you'll get there, you know? Yeah, but you know, it is, it's just confusing. They get, communities come with drama and baggage and noise, you know, they're not all good, but they are good. I'm trying not to be profound. I'm trying to just,
well, you succeeded.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm not going to propose a potential topic for next week because only that in the air. Maybe we'll take another piece of this one and go on with that. Maybe we'll just shoot the shit, which is one of my favorites. But
maybe next time you get to listen to us make love or make out. Make one of those two things.
What does that have to do with listening?
You get to listen to us do that next time.
Oh.
I want to touch you. Intimately. Joking. I don't want to do that at all. Oh my gosh.
Oh.
And this is how it started, Walter.
You yell. That's how it started.
You have to do it.
Oh, okay. But cut me off mid-yell. Ah!